Our next guest on the program is a comedian, a storyteller, a playwright, you name it, a teacher as well, and will be performing in Boston at Laugh Boston tomorrow night. He has made an epic journey already today from L.A. to Boston, and we're pleased to have him back on the show. Dylan Brody joining us. Dylan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich Kimball. May I call you Rich Kimball?
But please do. Yeah, I like the formality of that. I'm comfortable with it.
Because I put on a tuxedo for this interview.
Thank you. And I'm wearing no pants, so it works out well. It's some sort of symmetry there.
I'm wearing two pairs of pants. I am so excited to be under the bleak Boston skies. I can't even tell you.
Well, and you've had quite a journey. Can you share some of the story of your landmark trip from L.A. to Boston?
Well, it was. You described it as an epic journey, and it really was. We stopped on an island where I had to fight with a cyclops. I was picked up by a town car at 3 a.m. and driven 2.5 miles away from my home, where the town car shut off abruptly of its own accord on an exit ramp from a freeway. I got to sit in the lovely town car with the flashers on, awaiting a new town car that was to come pick me up and continue the journey to the airport. But no, what was sent instead was a van that I was to share with somebody who was to be picked up in Glendale. Because, you know, once the car is broken down and you have made your passenger late, it's good to arrange to make extra stops in the wrong direction before you continue the voyage. We went to Glendale. We picked up a gentleman who seemed angry at me because his van was late. And then I got on the plane. I managed to keep my travel face together. My wife and I have a rule when we travel. We try to be always the most relaxed, most charming, least tense people in the world. Because if you've ever been in an airport, Rich Kimball, and I expect you have, you will know that they are, in fact, at least in the U.S., the shopping malls of the damned. They are just hallways filled with people who look very sad and very stressed, who are buying things that are overpriced because it's a way to take their minds off of the fact that they are about to visit their family. So I maintained my travel face. I got to the airport well in time for my flight. There was a service dog there that immediately saw that I was about to crack. And the service dog came and said, "Let me be of service." So I got to pet a golden retriever for a little bit. And then, boom, I was on a plane. And now here I am in Boston, where I have never in my life been more happy not to be participating in a marathon.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Welcome to springtime in New England. It's quite glorious.
Holy cow. It is. First of all, I realize you are being a little bit sardonic with that, but it is glorious. The low-hanging clouds are something you never see in Los Angeles. The rain that falls from the sky is an absolute miracle. It's chilly. It's cold. I'm glad I'm not running in it, but boy, is it beautiful. If I could just live in this kind of light, it would make my whole life far more pleasant.
Well, we would love to have you here. If you want to take up residence, we can assist you, help you find a place if it will work out.
I appreciate that. Do you have any job openings? Because I'm not moving out here unless I know that I can make enough of a living so that my wife won't be pissed at me for moving her across the country.
Well, we'll work on that. We'll see what we can do. Well, you've got so many different jobs that you can do. Tell me a little bit about this class you've been teaching, Just Right.
I stumbled into this. I for years I've been advising people who are writing things, and I am a ridiculously prolific writer. Evelyn Wood once complained that I was writing too fast for him to read. Everybody I meet says, you know, I got an idea for a screenplay. I got an idea for a book. And there's this thing that they're talking about writing, that they're dreaming about writing, and that they're pretty much not writing. And I have the answer to it. And I know how to get past that resistance to getting started and the even worse resistance to finishing. So I started up this class a few months ago online at ruzuku.com, and it went incredibly well. One of my students wrote a pilot, a very funny pilot for a series that he apparently has been thinking about for 5 years, and he wrote it over the course of the 5 weeks with no difficulty at all. The next round starts up on the 25th. For people who want to write but aren't writing, you show up at Ruzuku. You can go to activevoiceproductions.com and find courses. And anyone who sends me an email saying, I want your course, but I can't afford it, is going to get a secret code to get the discounts, because my point is not to make a bunch of money for me and or for the Ruzuku company. My point is to get people living up to their greatest potential, because, frankly, Richard Kimball, may I call you Richard Kimball?
Yes, that happens in airports a lot, usually a company with, did you find the guy that killed your wife yet?
Yeah. I apologize for adding the syllable. We have come to an inflection point in the history of humanity, I believe. We are in a race between man's ability to self-destruct and man's ability to adapt and evolve. And in order for us to adapt and evolve fast enough to save the species, I think we all have to start living up to our greatest potential, adding our voices to the greater pool of knowledge and information. And I want everybody to be able to write the thing they have dreamed of writing.
We're talking with Dylan Brody here on Downtown. He'll be appearing at Laugh Boston tomorrow night. I love the piece that you posted on social media. War of the Words is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm allowing my poetic side to come out online. I feel a little guilty at this moment because, you know, I'm online. I'm on the phone with you. We're promoting a show that I'm doing. It. Did we mention Laugh Boston tomorrow evening? But I'm not being particularly funny. And then I feel like I'm doing it all wrong. I don't know how to market myself. So let me just say I apologize for being very serious in the middle of the bleak afternoon. I assure you, by evening tomorrow, I will be hilarious.
We have no doubt about that. You will be telling some stories. Can you give us a little preview of what people might see and hear tomorrow night at Laugh Boston?
May I share with you the story that I call, If There Were Swans, It Would Be a Lamentation?
We would love that.
Recently, on my way home from a gig, I was listening to The Mountain Goats with John Darnielle. One of my favorite things about them is that even when John Darnielle performs alone with none of his musical compatriots, he goes on stage and says, we are the Mountain Goats. And I pressed the button on my steering wheel that turns off the music and answers the phone, even though I have caller ID and could see that it was my mother. After we had been talking for longer than I was comfortable with, which is to say, we had exchanged greetings. We're still on the phone. She said, I hope I'm not interrupting anything. I said, no, I was just listening to the Mountain Goats. She said, oh, I thought you were in your car. I said, I am in my car, Mom. She said, oh, why are there Mountain Goats in your car? I said, it's a recording, Mom. She said, oh, I don't get that whole West Coast thing, the New Age people who drive around listening to records of nature sounds, a field of crickets, a pod of whales, whatever. I said, Mom, it's a band. She said, honey, I'm pretty sure if it's whales, it's a pod. She said it in that tone of forced patience and condescension with which she corrected me on my grammar when I was 5. I said, not the whales, Mom, the Mountain Goats. She said, oh, that would be a herd, dear. That tone again. I gripped my steering wheel. I listened to my breath. I imagined a bird carrying my rage toward a distant horizon, as my therapist has advised me to do when I speak with my mother. I said, no, Mom, the Mountain Goats are a band. They play musical instruments and sing post-grunge humanist folk rock. She said, oh, that sounds interesting. I would like to hear that. I said, I can send you a CD. She said, please don't. I wouldn't enjoy it. I was just being polite. Then, after a brief pause, she said, can they even know what they're singing about? I said, who? She said, these mountain goats, can they even know what the songs mean? I said, Mom, do you genuinely believe that the conversation we're having right now is actually about mountain goats that have been trained to play musical instruments and sing post-grunge humanist folk rock? She said, oh, Dylan, you're just like your father. It's always all about the subtext. I gripped my steering wheel. I listened to my breath. She could hear the tension over the phone because I am just like my father and it is always all about subtext. She said, are you okay? Where did you go just now? I said, I'm fine, Mom. I was just imagining a whole flock of crows headed toward a distant horizon. She said, oh, honey, you're thinking of a murder. And I said, yes. Yes, I am.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll dub in the audience response later, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a handful of us here, but, you know, we didn't want to interrupt. By the way, anyone who hasn't seen it, get online to Blue Panther Productions. Check out Dylan Brody's Driving Hollywood. If you are in the Boston area, or, you know, if you can get to Boston, and you can in just a few hours from here, get yourself to Laugh Boston tomorrow night. The poor man has endured broken down town cars, minivans with unwelcome passengers just to entertain you tomorrow night in Boston. So for God's sakes, go and see him and make yourself happy.
And even more exciting, tomorrow you'll get to see me performing stories, many of which are about my parents, with my parents in the room. It is, I believe, the first time since 1988 that my mother will have seen me perform live. So, you know, you may see me have an actual, real, live nervous breakdown.
Wow, that's a bonus material right there. We look forward to that. Dylan, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us. Have a wonderful time here in New England, and we'll talk with you again down the road.
Rich Kibble is a joy and a delight. Thank you so much for having me on this fine and blustery day.
Thank you, sir. Dylan Brody, not one word, but two here on Downtown.